Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mark Boyle, and this is The Mark Boyle Show.
And welcome to the Conservative Underground. We are broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Southeast Arizona today. However, we are not in the secure bunker because we are on location. We have a special guest with us today, Mark Boyle, also known as Prepper Guy. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Hey, thanks. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so I've been here. We've been talking. I have no idea what today is going to bring because it's unscripted, and Mark and I, whenever we get together and talk, we go off on left field, and God only knows where we're going to end up with this. So we are also in a public building, so we may get interruptions. We'll just see how the program goes. Anyway, where do we go, Mark?
A lot of the customers might have something to say, too. They're, you know, we got so many military guys here out from out on post and stuff. Yeah. So it's always fun to get them to open up once in a while.
Yeah. So, you know, I did make a post, I believe it was this morning on Facebook, because one of the recent programs that you did was about Lavoie. And I went and I listened to that. And, man, I could have not summed it up any better than what you did. What they did to that man was uncalled for. It was unjustified. And to this day, to this very day, you still have nobody that has even been investigated for murder, let alone arrested.
Yeah, it's almost as dark of a secret as what happened in Vegas. It's like all of a sudden, well, we don't know nothing. It's like, well, then what are we paying you for?
Exactly.
Because you're useless. Yeah. I mean, I could hire people like that all day long from crackheads, you know, union. They don't know nothing.
Yeah.
And in Lavoie, there was plenty of evidence.
Oh,
they just didn't want to look at it.
Or,
well, because it all pointed to them.
It was the government against a civilian.
Yeah. And you look at the massed amount of firepower and people there from the federal government. It's like, this is a wildlife refuge.
Yeah.
Who cares? It's not like they were threatening to blow up the Grand Canyon. You know, it's just a bunch of peaceful guys hanging out. And really, if you and I went to a wildlife refuge with our family and we were just hanging out, that's all they were doing.
Well, the government was shut down at that time anyway, so there was nobody there.
Right, and they didn't hurt anyone. Huh. You know, the buildings were unlocked, so they went in.
Yeah.
You know, and it was silly.
Next thing you know, they're wanted criminals.
Yes, and what some of them just barely got acquitted or whatever, what, after 3 years? Yeah, it was a travesty. In Lavoie, you know, I'd never met the guy.
Yeah.
You know, even though I'd lived up where he was from a while back, you know, back in my day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but I liked what he had to say. I liked what he was doing. He might have been wrong with some things, but he was a true patriot, just standing up and going, this is a property rights issue, just like what happened to Bundy.
Yep.
It had nothing to do with birds and wildlife or a fire. Mm-hmm. It had to do with private property.
That's right.
So,
well, I'm a big proponent to getting the land back to the states anyway.
Yeah,
I just the government's role is not to be involved in peddling things to the citizens. The government's role is to protect the people.
Yeah, and you wouldn't know it.
Well, of course not. Not by today's standards. I mean, I just talked about this in the last show where, you know, you had. And I don't know if the media was making a lot of it up or how much of it was actually true, because we know the media has gone off the deep end. And so we know they're known for fabricating stories and going to publish those stories even as if they were true. But my thing was, if we've got, you know, as small of a percentage of the government shut down as we did, and it's affecting the country as bad as it supposedly did and created such a crisis, we've got an issue, man. We've got a real issue with the Republic is in grave peril.
Well, yeah, and it's just like I asked that question, you know, who besides me would like to see it shut down permanently? I mean, for what they do for us is really limited in the Constitution. They have very few authorities to do anything. So
well,
they've gotten so big.
The government, the way it's supposed to be, is the government only has the authority that we delegate to them.
Right.
But it has gotten crazy to the fact where they're taking over everything. And we know where that's going. I mean, once the government absorbs everything, as in a socialist state, it becomes so big, there's nothing left to absorb. Collapses, and that's why socialism doesn't work.
Right. Yeah. It's never worked. To me, it's like watching Gilligan's Island for the 18th time, thinking maybe this time they'll get off the island. Mm-hmm. It's a rerun. It's predetermined. It's not going to happen.
Right.
And socialism is that way. It's just almost humorous when people go, oh, well, it'll work this time.
We know what we're doing, so we'll make it work.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe it'll work longer because we have more money.
Right.
But then you're still going to run out of other
you're
people's money.
And it works in anything. A business. If a business gets so big that it just absorbs everything, it can no longer sustain because there's nothing left to absorb. And it will collapse, I assure you. You see it all the time in, you know, in these online businesses and these multi-level programs and all. They eventually get so big they can no longer sustain and they collapse.
Yeah. I think it's just gravity, physics. I mean, it can't get that big. I mean, as good a foundation as the Constitution is, I don't think it can support that much weight.
Yeah.
And the government's not taking authority. They're actually now delegating rights. It's like all of a sudden we've let the equation get flipped. To where it's like they'll tell us what we have the right to do. Well, it doesn't work that way, you know. But nobody's going to stand for that, and that's what Lavoie did. He stood for that, and he said, "When you take a state's land, the state becomes bankrupt because they can't write those uranium leases and logging leases and coal leases. It goes to the BLM. Mm-hmm. Well, now the state's left basically being pickpocketed, and then they have to go to the feds and go, "Hey, can we get some money to buy a new school?" And then the feds are like typical bullies. They're like, "Well, I don't think you need that." It's like, "Wait, that's our money. You took it." And states won't stand up because governors are cowards and sheriffs are chicken shits.
Absolutely.
I guess I can use that word. I don't know. I mean, on your show,
it's an adult program, so I think most of the people that are listening to this.
Well, then I don't even know why you came in to talk to me because I'm so not an adult most of the time. But.
Well, you know, it's funny because people think that government has power. In fact, you know, I did some schooling with an accredited institution. And the first thing that the instructor said, you know, when he came into class, raise your hand if you think government has too much power. My hand went up, just like everybody else's hand in the class.
Right.
And then he said, yep, you all need educate. And you will hear me talk about that on my podcast so much because we are not educated. Our education system has become an indoctrination center where they're teaching them what they want to know versus the right from wrong that we learned when we went to school.
Right. And I think you brought that up before. Technically, the government has no power.
They don't. They have no power. They have the authority that we delegate to them. And people... For some reason, that's why you got Cory Booker and you've got this Cortez and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. They're all running unhinged because nobody puts them in check.
Right.
Because people are afraid of them. They're the legislators and they make the laws and they know better than we do.
Right, which is kind of odd because they really don't know anything.
They don't.
You know, I mean, they're politicians.
Well, and then, or you know, Cortez, supposedly a highly educated individual... And she doesn't even understand the three branches of government.
I know. I see all the memes about her, and I wonder if she really did say that, because she is easy to throw stuff at.
Well, there's a video of her.
But she does say some of the stupidest stuff. I mean, yeah, I'm not running a state.
And then
I can say
Nancy Pelosi thinks
stuff.
She's equivalent to the president.
Yeah, which is, I guess constitutionally she is.
If,
she
if
has
you look at it that
one
way.
Third.
Three separate branches with equal authority,
right.
Then, well, but I don't know. It just doesn't add up to me how, I mean, she's the Speaker of the House.
Yeah. Well, and she is so wrong, really. I mean, she has the same amount of power or authority, we want to call it that. But she cannot, she cannot go overseas and write contracts and treaties.
Right.
That's the president's job.
Right.
But the president can't make laws or spend money.
Exactly.
So, yeah, they're on the same plane, but on, you know, or playing field.
They're on the, but they're in different directions.
Yeah, they're and constitutionally, it's supposed to be that way.
Exactly.
You know, because you need those checks and balances.
It is set up to prevent any one individual or groups of individuals from having too much power.
Right.
Or
unfortunately, they didn't think about the media.
Back
then,
the
fourth estate or whatever we call that now,
which
is a neat label for it. And then we can all go be comfortable with hearing that and go, yeah, it's the fourth estate. The reality is they're screwing our country. And And we're letting them because it's the same as the government. The government has no authority if we don't give it to them.
That's right.
And the media has no power if we just stop buying their stupid products and quit watching them. They away almost as fast as the newspaper started to collapse because people stopped reading it.
That's right.
And nobody's going to put an ad in a newspaper that has no readership. I know. I tried that one time.
Yeah. No, it's unbelievable how... And, you know, you've got the media is, I mean, so out there now. And they're not even afraid to hide it. The fact that, I mean, the story, some of the, and I, some of the things that I talk to is, you know, one of the things that you see is the headlines. But you've got to read into the meat of the story before you get to the BS that's, well, you know, the last one was, okay, Roger Stone was arrested. We finally got the guy. We finally got the guy that's linked Trump to the Russians after, what, two and a half years now? Yeah. We finally got the guy, and it's a major story and all this stuff. And then you read down in between, and it says, but there has been no conviction, and we don't have any proof that he did anything wrong.
Right. Yeah, they build a narrative. And, you know, I've studied advertising my whole life because it fascinates me. And so before they tell you the story, they create, you know, this background story.
Right.
So it's like this woman working her way through college, a single mom that came over here. And then eventually you find out she's a sociopath that came over here to blow up America. Right. But you feel so sorry for her before they say that, that you don't hear it anymore. It becomes noise in there. And politicians used to do that back when I was in high school, which was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And they would have a press conference, and they'd say all this stuff. Didn't mean nothing. They'd just throw it against the wall and see what stuck. But the press was there, so they'd take pictures back then and write all these headlines. And then the politician would take those headlines and put it in a TV commercial, and people would watch it on TV and go, oh, well, look, that must be true because the press
can't
is...
Can't say it on TV if it isn't true.
Yeah, as seen on TV, which is crazy because I've seen Wookiees on TV, so I don't know.
Yeah.
And Ewoks. So.
Yeah.
I've seen a guy named Spider-Man on TV. So you got to be able to filter through it and look at it and just go, yeah, it's BS. And because it drives my wife crazy because, you know, she'll be looking at something and I'll go, yeah, but it's not Bluetooth. And she goes, well, how do you know? I go, well, if it was Bluetooth, that's a benefit. That's an advantage. It would be all over that box.
Right.
So they leave it off. Because it's not. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I hate talking to you about that. So, you know, because I'll hear some, you know, some statistic on TV and I'll go, yeah, but they didn't say that.
Exactly.
The context was they said this because if they said that, they would be sued.
They're just words.
Yeah. And so you really have to really be a cynic when you're watching the media, you know, just like commercials. We know all commercials are lying to us.
Absolutely.
Why do we believe the media about politicians? About anything. I mean, I don't even believe the media when they say we're a news network. It's like, no, you're not.
No,
you're a commentary show.
That's exactly right.
I mean, we're a commentary show right now.
It's an opinion.
Yeah. So what, are they going to take what we say and run with it? No, nobody cares.
Yeah, nobody cares. I don't care.
Yeah, but you got a bad attitude.
Is that what it is? Is that my problem?
It could be. I mean, I've been accused of that too, so I'm pretty familiar with the telltale signs of that. I like militias. I think they're constitutional and should be.
Absolutely. Everyone well-regulated be. Militia being necessary to the security of a free state. It's right there in the Constitution.
But you meet some of them, went to a prepper show one time. It wasn't prepper con, but one of them. And there's all these militias, you know, trying to recruit members. And it's like... It's like, what are you guys going to do when it really happens?
That's right.
That's why I made that one podcast. It's like, not that you'll stand. It's where are you going to stand? What's your values?
Right.
And when you really talk to, you know, people, even, you know, retired military guys that are way up there, they have a different understanding of that Constitution they swore to uphold. And it's like, that's not the Constitution. It might be the one written in crayon back in D.C., but... Mm-hmm. You know, it has more to do with that. And, you know, and it's the enemies within that are our threat now. How do you
Absolutely.
Fight the enemy within?
I'm
you know, that's like kicking a family member out. So it's really tough because it's easy to nuke the enemies outside, you know, or go in there and take the battle to them.
See, that's what, you know, in this whole thing with securing the border. You know what? We're going to take a break. Stand by for a ram because we'll be back right after this.
I interrupt. Hey, you caught me bugging out of the area because of a critical incident. Luckily, I know what to do and I know where I'm going. Thanks to the Contra Radio Network. I mean, I listen to these guys. They give me crucial information on what to do when a critical crisis happens. So what about you? Do you guys listen to the Contra Radio Network?
All right, and we're back. We are just two crazy guys talking.
There you go. Yeah, we're definitely the crazy guys in the room, that's for sure.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I don't know if we're crazy or if we're actually on track and everybody else is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they say with knowledge comes insanity.
Yeah.
Because the more you know, the more you want to pull your hair out.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to be in the world and not let it suck you in. That's why I voted for Trump. Because there were a lot of people running that were probably better at being a president, even Rand Paul. Yeah. They're going to get sucked in and spit out.
Yeah.
So they could be right, but it takes a pit bull like Trump to not get spit in or sucked in and spit out.
See, that's why I voted for Trump, because he was an outsider.
Yeah.
And he's not part of the good old boy network. And I guarantee you, most of those guys that, you know, the Republican Party had running, right, you know, they're cavers. That's what got me to when Trump said, okay, we'll fund the government for 3 weeks. Right. And then I saw it everywhere. I saw it on Facebook. I saw it in the media.
Trump
I saw
caved.
Trump caved. In fact, I did that in my last podcast. I grabbed a bunch of sound bites from the media, you know, and all this. Trump did not cave, people. Trump put the ball in the Democrats' court. He saw there was people hurting. He allowed them to be able to get paid. But more importantly, in fact, I saw last night, Nancy Pelosi says, we're not putting funding for border security in the legislature.
Okay.
So guess what,
return
man?
Serve.
Freaking 2 weeks now from now, Trump is going to stick it to him. And people say, you think he's going to? Yeah, I really do, because that's the way Trump is. Trump is about sticking it to the other guy.
And what gets me about this whole border thing is, if anything is in the president or even Washington's wheelhouse, it's protecting our borders.
Yeah.
From the enemies trying to invade us. That's the whole damn point. They don't have much else they can do.
Nope.
The rest of the year other than take our money and pay for our abortions.
And make us buy shit.
Yeah, yeah. Insurance and Social Security and crap.
Unconstitutional health care laws.
Yeah. So, you know, I think he's got more wiggle room than a lot of the constitutional experts like Chris Ann Hall and stuff are saying. Well, they really can't do a state of emergency or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah.
But I think when it comes to border, he could. Now, the states could just step up and say, well, you know, if Washington's inept, we're just going to enforce our own border and kick out Border Patrol or hire them all as sheriffs and then do it constitutionally.
Yep.
And then protect our own borders like we used to have militias.
That's right.
And stuff. But unfortunately, the people that run the state are just jackasses in Washington that are opposing the bill.
Exactly.
So you're not going to get any support from mommy or daddy because they're both not on your side, you know, except the president. So you almost need a benevolent kind of leader at this moment to just sit there and go, this has to be done.
Yeah.
You're all too dumb. It's like giving a child that's got 103 temperature an ice bath. It sucks.
Yeah.
And they're going to whine and call you every name in the book until they feel better.
Yeah.
And it has to be done.
Yeah. Just, well, you know, and Trump knows that. And he, you know, that's the thing. He gets it.
Yeah.
He actually does get it. It's right now we're in a point where, and he's right, you know, we don't know what's coming across that border. And like you said, the enemy within, you do, in fact, I know you know this as well as I do, there are tons of sleeper cells right here in good old red state America that are just waiting for the right.
Well, how many of those camps did they bust, you know, back east and stuff? And then all of a sudden say, yeah, they were a bunch of terrorists. Okay, so the weather's going to be really nice today.
Exactly.
And it's like, what did you just say?
Exactly.
You know, it's like, I mean, you wouldn't put up with that with anybody in a conversation. You know, it's like, hey, you know, how you doing, Don? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, by the way, I wrecked your car. So the weather's going to be great this weekend. You're like, wait a minute. You did what to my car?
Yeah, exactly.
But the media can just but move on because no one's...
But let it have been somebody that was a Trump supporter, and oh my God, it would have been days of coverage in the media.
Oh yeah, 24/7.
You know,
just like this Roger Stone thing.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's like, who cares? Yeah.
Well, the thing is, it's coming down to the fact now where I think if anybody's ever talked to Trump, they're going to come and get you.
I'm really glad that I never got a letter from him or anything, you know, because, I've tweeted him a few times on Facebook and whatever, you know, hey, you got to try this or that. Good thing he never called me back.
Yeah, right.
Because then I would be getting SWAT teamed.
This building surrounded by 40 FBI vehicles at 6 in the morning, and CNN would be sitting out there on Avenue de Cochise with their cameras and their crew member waiting to go.
Well, because it would be a hunch.
Yeah.
Right? You know. So this guy had a hunch to just be there out of what was that 700-800 days of all this. And he happened to have some pretty nice equipment while he was there, too.
Just happened to.
They just carry that around in the trunk of their car, I guess. Yeah, like, because I've seen news crews and that kind of equipment just, you know, throw in the trunk of your car. And that wasn't filmed on his phone.
Yeah. You know. So. Well, and then they sent more FBI agents in there than we had over in Benghazi, man.
Yeah, I know. SEAL Team 6 isn't even that big. I mean, come on. Yeah, it's a show. And for those people that are really caught up in it are being suckered to follow the show. It's like Ringling Brothers. A lot of it's sleight of hand and stuff. And we know it when we watch David Copperfield make the Empire State Building disappear.
Yeah.
It really didn't disappear.
Yeah.
Because it's still there today. I've seen it.
Yeah.
You know, so we know that it's misdirection.
Yeah.
And yet we watch it. And I guess you tell a lie enough, people start to believe it.
Exactly. Dumbing down of America, my friend. If I sat here every day, I came in here and I sat, in fact, if I put a recording in here somewhere.
Oh Mark, my God.
You're Superman. Mark, you're Superman. Mark, you're you would be up on the roof in your Superman cape trying to fly, you know? That's just.
Well, isn't that, they do that in, you know, like all these motivational things, you know,
exactly.
Like talk to yourself in the mirror, so, you know, reaffirm, you know, I can do this,
right.
You know, which is probably works on that level.
Right. Positive reinforcement.
But when it comes to the media and nation and freedom and liberty,
yeah,
I would say that's almost, I don't know what the word is, just disgusting.
Yeah.
And you know, to it them, is. It's all about ratings and winning some stupid game. But the media are going to be the first ones to be eaten for dinner when their dream or the dream they're backing becomes a reality.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's not right. CNN because they are, you know, pretty much communist anyway, but you can't have 15, 20, 30 news groups out there when you become socialist. It'll all fall under the government. And the government's got enough resources. They wouldn't even need CNN.
No.
They could just eat them for dinner, too.
Yeah, they would.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd eat everything for dinner.
Yeah, because now all of a sudden you're useless. We don't need you anymore.
Yep.
And that's what they say. We'll use the vote until we get your guns, and then we'll use the guns.
That's right.
So it's not peaceful. And it, you know, I don't know what to, I think it's inevitable.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to be that way as an American because I think a revolution in America would be the worst thing that could happen in history. You know, just like Rome falling, you know, to what took 2,000 years to reinvent the toilet.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I kind of like a toilet.
Yeah.
So, you know, this form of government will never happen again.
Yeah.
I mean, it might in 3,000-4,000 years, but I'm going to be dead.
I mean, and the thing is, once they take it away from you, like you said,
yeah.
It's not coming back.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Government's not going to shrink itself and go, oh, we made a mistake.
You know, here we go with North Korea theory again. I say this
I haven't
a lot.
Heard your North Korea theory, so go for it.
So, you know, I've said that if we don't be careful, we're going to end up like North Korea. And people think, well, no, we'll never get there. You're crazy. Yeah, I've had people call me a crazy lunatic.
We're practically there right now.
But let me tell you something, man. You start letting the government take your rights away from you, watch how freaking fast we turn into North Korea.
Well, how long did it take Venezuela to go from a really thriving economy to today?
Yeah.
You know, 3-4 years?
That's it.
So it doesn't take long.
And we're already moving in that direction. We've got all these. Look, the Democratic Party, at one time, they were trying to hide the socialism.
Right.
They're not even trying to hide that now.
No, they're out there flying their freak flag.
Yeah, it's out there. They're openly, you know, socialist. Well, because we know what we're doing, and we're going to make it work because we know what's better for you than you do.
Right. Yeah.
No, you don't. That's why you were supposed to, when I tell you the light switch to turn on, you turn it on, you turn it off, you turn it off. But in America today, our schools, they're not teaching the fundamental principles of government. They're indoctrinating our kids to believe that the First Amendment, if you don't like authority, go buck authority. You have the right. It's your First Amendment right. That's not what the First Amendment of the Constitution is. You know, the First Amendment of the Constitution is gives you the right to peaceably protest your government if the government's doing wrong, not just because you don't like Donald Trump.
Right. What they were doing, like, you know, with Lavoie Finnegan. Mm-hmm. You know, you see, that was a redress of issues.
Yep.
They're the ones that turned it negative.
Yep.
And then the media is like calling them Al-Qaeda and stuff, just creating a narrative.
Yeah.
But boy, you go down, burn up half of Baltimore. That's fine. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's liquor store owners.
All right, so moving from the Finicum thing to the Indians, this recent Native American war hero, Vietnam veteran guy that
never seen Vietnam.
That guy.
I got sound clips of. You know, Savannah Guthrie did an interview with him. And, you know, in the beginning, maybe I'll throw that in here if I still have the audio. And so Savannah Guthrie was like, let's talk about your Vietnam service, which I don't believe you ever said you did. And then I went and found audio of the guy saying, I'm a Vietnam veteran. And, you know, on my exit papers, it has, you know, peacetime. Mine says in theater. And I'm thinking to myself, man, these people, this, first of all right, so the media jumps the gun like they always do because this little kid has a hat on,
right.
The Trump hat.
The MAGA hat. Oh, my God.
And he's just doing his thing, right? And out of nowhere, this Native American Indian, who now we know is a left-wing liberal hack, you know, comes up and gets in this kid's face and he's banging his drum and he's doing his Indian chant and all this other stuff. And then the media ran to town with that, man.
Well, you know, and what's weird is when you watch the media version of it, all you see is that kid grinning at him and this guy beating his drums to where it almost looks like the kid's trying to intimidate the Indian.
Yeah.
But really, the kids were all doing their thing and this guy came up to them and he actually had way more self-control than I would.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to be an adult in the room, you know, that this guy's just interrupting their whatever they were doing.
Right.
I think people freak out more about the red MAGA hat than seeing somebody with an automatic weapon in a Walmart shooting people.
Yeah.
Which is
sick
and
overstated,
but
I do have a MAGA hat and I do wear it sometimes. And I, you know, most of the people, you know, I have that shirt that I made. And it's got a picture of, you know, a couple of, I think there's an AR-15 in there too. I'm not sure, but there's a couple of guns crossed, right? A couple of rifles crossed. And then it says, my guns are lubricated with the tears of liberals. And so I wore that. I had that on and then I had my MAGA hat and I'm walking through Walmart, right? And this one guy's like, wow, what a cool shirt, man. And I said, well, I print my own. He said, well, will you make me one? So I sold him a shirt, you know?
Awesome.
But a lot of times people will look at me, you know, and I'm like, okay, go ahead. Trigger it. Come on, take my hat off, buddy. I dare you to take my hat off. But see, they won't.
No.
They will only approach people that they feel they are superior to.
Right.
And you know, and there was our oldest boy in Phoenix, he posted a picture of, you know, the freeway blockages back whenever that was going on, and he goes, how come they'll stand and block traffic here but not here? And the next picture is like all those bikers riding in Washington, D.C. And so I just put in there, because they want a photo op, not a trip to the ER.
That's right.
And they really are selective. And that was one of my points to Oath Keepers is like, you know, we are allowing our enemy to pick the battlefield, which is as stupid as letting enemy write the contract that your terms of surrender, basically.
Yeah.
And so we need to get in, you know, like in front of these issues, maybe like with what Lavoie did, and just find, you know, 15 places that you could protest that same argument, but do it in areas that have constitutional sheriffs. They're friends with Sheriff Mack, so I'm sure we know where they live and what areas. And if you did it all on one day, the FBI can no longer muster that many agents. So that's my point. I think we're allowing the federal government to play whack-a-mole with us and our protest while they support the crazy loons. And so we just need to pick an issue that we want to fight on, like property rights, and just have 15, 20 protests on, I don't know, May 1st. Yeah. And have it coordinated, because we know how to do that, I think. You know, the Oath Keepers, 3%ers, you know, the sheriffs. And just go, we're going to hit these friendly areas, to where you could get local media that's on the side. You could change the entire narrative and the optics just by that. And you know, some of them you might back down and just go, okay, we're not going to fight this one. But if you won one battle, that's better than losing it.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's a war, not a, you know, so we could win one. I think you'd win more, because they wouldn't show up with the overwhelming force they did in Myler County or wherever the hell that was at in Oregon. But see, Oregon, they had the governor that was in bed with Hillary and the Uranium One deal.
Yep.
The sheriff was a loser. The judge in that thing, they were, and I think even the sheriff's brother was, so they had this little cabal going. And there must have been money on the table. And so there was no support. This guy was just standing out there by himself.
Yeah.
And it went south, I think, predictably and probably planned.
Yeah.
And so I don't understand why, you know, a lot of the groups that were supposed to have his back weren't there. Maybe they had their chicken shit reasons. But to me, it all seemed to be, well, his timing, his strategy. It's like, hey, when a guy takes a chance to stand, that's the question. Are you going to stand with him?
That's right. Just like Bundy.
Yeah.
When the Bundy Ranch thing was going down, man, the mayor, they all booked, man, because they thought World War III was coming down.
Yeah.
They really did.
And it almost kind of did.
Yeah. And they booked. They got out of town. And so, yeah, I mean, if you can, they were even able to muster up enough attention in the mainstream media. Of course, it was, you know, the attention, well, you guys are criminals and all this other stuff, but
hey, bad PR is still PR.
Yeah,
if you can play it right.
Yeah.
And see, but I think with the Bundy thing, as far as, and the difference between that and the Hammonds is, you know, Hammond's arrest was the trigger, I guess, that caused it all, but that was over a fire and terrorism charges, which was horse crap.
Yeah, they were brought up charges.
But the Bundys was on his property.
Exactly.
It wasn't some, you know, imaginary wildlife refuge, which the government has no right to own anyway.
That's right.
So it did change the dynamics of the argument quite a bit, even though I think they should have stood behind both of them and fought that. And there were probably more Border Patrol guys there and BLM guys than the FBI guys. So it was easy to get sane people to go, you're right, and we don't want this to turn into a war, because you're definitely got us outgunned.
Yeah.
You know, and I think with Lavoie Finnegan, I think that's why they scurried off all his support.
Yeah.
And scared him off or whatever. And that's kind of scary when someone's got your six and you can scare them away.
Yeah.
Then what good is having them have your six? You know, it's the whole point of I got your six means something more than for now.
Yeah.
You know, so here he is driving around on a deserted road.
Yeah.
And he was just ambushed.
Well, he was going to meet a sheriff, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was going to another county with a different sheriff to turn himself in or whatever they wanted. And so that's why they, you know, ambushed him like dang cowboys in Indian days.
Caught him before he could get away, quote, unquote.
And there was no one there.
Yeah.
You know, the footage was crap at best. I've seen the government's ability to record crap.
Oh, yeah. Look, since the 60s, man, they've been able to zoom in on a freckle on your arm from space. Come on.
Yeah. And around here, living here, you know, I've met people that helped develop those cameras.
Yeah.
And like you said, back in the 60s.
I was going to say, because I got a drone. I got, you know, that little Mavic Pro drone, and that's a little drone, and it takes insanely stable and killer video. Right. And I've gone up to no more than 2,000 feet.
Maybe. Well, you know, and the thing is, that was probably, you know, they would sit there and go, well, that was just a UAV, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Their cameras are better than your Mavic drone.
Right.
So
yeah.
Don't try to act like, you know, well, we just pulled this off real quick. Because he was going to, what, go to another county and blow
it
up?
He was running away.
Yeah. It's like, running away? You know, it's like, we have, you had a camera, just follow him, and then go arrest him when he gets there.
Exactly.
No, they had to run him off the road and shoot him.
Yeah.
And they say he resisted a traffic stop.
Yeah.
I've watched that traffic stop. If a cop pulls up behind me in an unmarked vehicle and sits there and doesn't even identify himself for 10 minutes, I'm going to just roll on down the road.
Yeah, buddy.
And then they, oh, he tried to run over an officer. That dumbass was standing right in the middle of the road on an icy road.
Yeah.
What did he think was going to happen? Yeah. So, you know, there was no support system for the guy.
No.
There was no audio. Amazing. You know, all those agents
something?
With all their body cameras. And,
yeah.
And you know, you can hear grasshoppers fart. But none of that.
Nope. Not a word.
Yeah.
He was running. He was trying to get away. He was a criminal, a wanted criminal, and we wanted to arrest him.
And wanted for what? For hanging out at a public wildlife refuge, whether it's open or closed,
exactly.
It's public property.
Yeah, it is.
So he hadn't done nothing. They hadn't charged him with using their tractor or breaking into the building. So he was running from nothing.
Right.
And to me, you know, if you're going to charge me with being on government property, which would be a crime, like all the immigrants going through the post, because
sure.
That's a legal constitutional post.
Right.
And they don't own it. That's like you charging me with trespassing when I'm in another town.
Exactly.
It's like, I'm not on your property because you don't own this property. So the whole thing was, you know, played.
Sure.
And that's what gets me about, you know, the Patriot movement. It's like, do we not know how to strategize? I mean, because this is just basic operating procedure 101.
Yep.
Let's continue these protests, but let's be a little more organized. Let's get some sheriffs, because the sheriff is the law in the thing. Even like if I were the governor of the state where, what's his name, was arrested, Roger Stone.
Yeah.
I think I'd have the sheriff in my office going, why did you allow this to happen?
Absolutely.
Because you're responsible for his rights and his safety. And the FBI came in and broke jurisdictional rules and all that stuff, never notified you. And if they did, how come you let them SWAT team
in? But they let CNN know, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, the sheriff, people, I guess people don't realize how important a sheriff is in a county.
Man.
I mean,
sheriff,
he can arrest.
He's the man.
Yeah, he can arrest the FBI. He can close down Border Patrol. Yeah.
If he's telling them to break the Constitution.
And if the governor says, hey, we won't allow that, then he can tell the governor to pound sand.
That's right.
Because he works directly for us. And that's where the power was supposed to end up with
that's
us.
Right.
So I think sheriffs are the last hope for America.
I agree.
But we're so caught up in this myopic view of what's going on in Washington, D.C. It's like, well, who the hell cares?
Yeah.
You know, in fact, if we focused all our attention on local issues, our representatives would come back home because no one's paying attention to them in Washington.
All politics
because,
are local.
Yeah. You know, because if you're not getting any media coverage in Washington anymore because everybody's talking in the state.
That's right.
You might come home and do your damn job. Well, that's just a tangent and I digress. But I think, you know, we need to get people together like Oath Keepers and 3%ers and the Constitution Sheriffs and come up with a damn game plan and enact it and win some of these battles.
All right, so we're going to take a break because we have to, but we'll be back right after this.
Because we have to. Hard break.
This is Contra Radio Network, internet radio for the discerning prepper and patriot.
Okay, so we're back. On that thought, I had a thought process, and now I lost where I was going to go.
You're prior military, right?
No.
No?
No.
You just work out on post. And...
Right.
Okay.
So, but no, I wanted to touch on, you were talking, oh, I know what it was. We were talking about getting organized. Well, okay, so That's the key, because you have so many armchair quarterbacks that will sit there and yell at the TV and they'll rah-rah, shish-boom-bah, and yeah, we're on, and then when the rubber meets the road, nobody's on. Right. I know this from personal experience because of a local thing that we did. I got involved in the red light cameras here locally, and there were so many people pushing, but nobody actually wanted to get out there and do. Right. We went out and collected signatures from people. We did our investigation on the company and what they were doing and the whole nine yards. And then we went out and we informed the public. Right. You see, it's so important that you inform the public, because it's the public who's going to make the ultimate decision as to
right,
who gets
during
elected,
the general
doesn't.
Elections and
exactly.
All these special initiatives
that's
and stuff.
That's exactly right. And so many people will say, yeah, I'm on board with that. But then, hey, man, can you go and collect like 10 signatures? Oh, well, I really don't have time.
I'm on board, but you
don't know 10 people that you can get to sign a piece of paper,
Right.
And so you're absolutely right in that. We've got all these grassroots Americans. Where the heck are they?
Yeah, they're in the grass. Their head in the sand, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder, is it, and this is my theory, I could be wrong,
which has happened once or twice. I think we're so busy, which is part of, I'm not going to call it conspiracy, but the grand plan. If you can keep us so preoccupied with work, taxes, and just the BS stress of life, we don't have time to organize really anymore.
Right.
Because a lot of good people I talk to, they want to. I mean, even me, my time is pretty much micromanaged now by the minute.
Yeah.
And so to even take time to just sit here and do this, which I love doing because I hate working.
And I appreciate it.
We don't have, a lot of the people that might organize just don't think they have time. I think they do. You want something done, get a busy person to do it.
That's right.
And so it's hard to get in their head and go, it's only going to take you the 10 people you see today, at work, your neighbor, Bob mowing his grass,
mm-hmm.
Just do this. And then that's all we're going to ask. Because I think people are, it's like telemarketing,
yeah.
Somebody might be selling you a really nice, brand new Tesla for $100. And you're just not going to take the time to look into it and see if it's BS.
Right.
And so you're going to sit there and go, yeah, I'll help you. A friend of mine wanted to have a special election in Benson. He goes, well, I just need you to be the one that files for this. I got to keep my arm's length agreement off of this. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you go over here and do that? It's like, no, I'm in the middle of a building project, but I will try.
Right.
So I think a lot of times when you ask somebody for help, I think it's good to lay it out for them. All I want you to do is 10 people.
Yeah.
And I will come and pick up the petitions.
Right.
If you get 100, great. But and so people do, I think, shy away from that responsibility.
Absolutely.
Maybe not because they're not patriots. It's just like we just look at our lives as so damn busy, which they're not.
No, I mean, here that's one of the reasons why I started doing this podcast again. Mostly.
I thought it was bad. My bad influence.
Well, you too. You had a lot to do with that. But
I could see, though, that had been growing, because you've been in this type of business for quite a while.
Yeah. And I'd actually been thinking about getting back into doing it anyway. And I think all it was it just took you to jump in and push that button and push me overboard. but so that's the thing, though. You've got to get with like-minded people who are willing to do something.
Right.
Because most people aren't. They just aren't for whatever reason. Maybe they are too busy. I don't know. Maybe they're afraid that if they get involved, then, they're going to have a CIA van staking out their house or something,
I had a friend that was that paranoid once. Of course, he was a drug addict. But, he at one time, because he was living at my house, I was trying to keep him from going to prison and help him out. And he's like, I think they're in your attic. And I was like, dude, you are so unimportant.
Wow.
Trust me, they're not in the attic because I kind of built the attic. It's not big enough for a SWAT team. But I go, why would they care? But and so we are
exactly.
paranoid, people are like, I don't want to join that group because I'll be on a list. It's
exactly.
like, you were on a list called Social Security the day you were born. They know where you are.
Sure they do.
And
so what?
Trust me, it's so easy to find out anything about anyone that... if they want to know who you are and what you're doing, they will know. And you won't know that they'll know, but they'll know.
Yeah. And with, you know, all these programs they got out there, facial recognition, voice recognition, I mean, they can figure out who you are by the cadence of your walking.
Yeah.
And just the tone of your voice, even if they can't hear it, just the way your cadence is. That's why I edit my podcast so bad, so I have no cadence. Like, is that the same guy? It's like, maybe.
But, yeah.
No, I think a lot of us, I think, as hardcore conservatives, kind of don't want to, I don't know, do we open up enough to liberals? Because I have one of our customers, he's, you know, he jokes around about it. He goes, I was born in Jersey. He goes, if I'd have mentioned the word Republican, I would have been slapped and grounded.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, but me and you can talk for hours about politics, and I don't get offended, and I don't want to shoot you, which is kind of cool. He's probably got a bigger gun than I do at the time. But we talk about issues, and I listen to what he's saying, and sometimes he's right. I mean, a lot of things, like when Ron Paul said that we asked for 9/11, I was pissed. I was like, oh, BS, because I was being falling back on my patriotism.
Right.
But when you look and you talk to all these soldiers out here, and you see the hornet's nest we kick around the world, and economic jackals and economic hitmen, it's like, you know, he was right.
Yeah.
So I'll be talking to a liberal who's sane, not just, you know, snowflake crazy liberal, but, you know, a normal person that just is more Democrat than Republican.
Right.
And when you talk to them, you go, you know, our differences are not that far apart.
No, they're not.
I don't want people starving and dying on the streets any more than you.
I have lots of friends that are liberals.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end of the day, we can shake hands and walk away, and it is what it is.
But they don't, you know, their platform now has been remodeled, and it's insane.
Yeah.
But, you know, back in the day, you know, I was talking to my liberal customer, and I said, you know, there's not a big difference. I go, you don't want people to starve, and I don't want people to starve. I go, you'll give them a fish, and I'll teach them to fish. I go, I have no problem with that.
Right.
I go, you can give them a boat, and I'll get them a program to buy a boat. I said, but your party has been, it's almost like a church potluck. Everyone shows up, but no one brings anything.
That's right.
And I go, and unfortunately, your party has become that way because they're all voting for more free stuff.
That's right.
I go, if they were true liberals like you are, that work your butt off to pay for these things you believe in.
Exactly.
As I go, if you're a Democrat and you believe the crap they're shoveling in Washington, you should have four jobs. And three of them should just go straight to taxes just to fund these things. But I go, most of them are unemployed.
Yeah.
Because they want the free stuff.
Yep.
So you go, you know, you need to separate that out from their argument and go, you're just got your hands in the cookie jar.
Well, there's another push. I'm sure you've seen it. The next push about Medicare for all.
Oh, my God.
It's just Obamacare revamped.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
And now that I've gotten so damn old, I can get Medicaid or whatever it is because I'll be 65.
Yeah.
And my wife's like, you're going to fill that out? And it's like, I really don't know. I've never paid into the system.
Exactly.
You know, but I have, you know, just paying taxes and sales taxes, and whatever, you know, just being an American.
Right.
And I say, well, why wouldn't I? Because I could just sneak over the border and start speaking Spanish and get all that stuff for free. But there's that pride issue. It's like, I don't want your damn money. In fact, give it to someone that really needs it. But they just give it to people that don't need it. So am I going to be the last sucker standing without, you know, Medicaid because of principle? I don't know. Sometimes.
I don't know. I'm not a believer in it myself. So, you know.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, it's a tough call. Just like, okay, so Social Security. Social Security was never meant to be a sole source of income.
No.
It was only meant to be a supplemental income. And what I can't understand was, I mean, it's paying out more than it's bringing in. And you know as well as I do, that will not sustain. Yeah.
Ponzi schemes don't work any longer than socialism. Yeah. When they run out of money, it just collapses.
If you're putting out more than you're bringing in, it's quite obvious that it's not going to last very long.
Right.
And so, you know, I just don't understand. I'm not a big proponent of depending on the government anyway. I'm just not. I have my issues with that. I understand that there are people that are in a needy situation.
Right.
Okay, I get that. Just like, you know, the bus thing around here, a local thing, guys. I understand there's a need for something, but we don't need these big, huge buses that run around town empty.
How much would that cost if they used Uber?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, contract with Uber or a Uber Lite.
Exactly. But so
and we got one of those in Benson, which is, you know, a small town.
Yeah.
I've mentioned that before, so everyone knows I live in Benson, Arizona, and probably shake their head and go, why?
The government shouldn't be involved in that.
No. And what gets me is, you know, when you study mass transit, you go, well, we have people that need to get here and there. And they're unprivileged or whatever they want to call it. It's like, well, then why are you driving a bus to Scottsdale? I think they can afford a car.
Yeah.
You know, so they branch out so far to offer all these routes to people that really don't need it for the purpose it was created. It's like, do we really need that? And what gets me about the welfare system as a whole, being means tested and all that, is like, if you have $100 and you can help five people, then everyone gets $20.
Right.
But if you have 10 more people jump on that don't need it, now everyone's only getting, you know, a couple dollars.
Right.
So it's almost unfair to the real people that really need it.
Yes.
And I think it's a violation of their fiduciary duties to just give it away without doing the math and going, you don't need it. But social workers are going to, well, we can't do that. We can't investigate everyone. It's like, well, then why did we hire you?
Exactly. Government is efficient, said no one ever.
That's true. So, you know, all of the programs, it doesn't matter what rabbit hole you go down.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, people just are going to have to get organized and do something. And I really don't know if we're already not heading toward a cliff, but we're really like Thelma and Louise, and we've left the cliff.
Yeah.
And brakes don't work when you're in free fall.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
How far the abyss is to the bottom, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't see turning left or right or stopping.
Yeah.
Once you hit critical velocity.
Yeah, it's very critical right now. I mean, we've got, oh my God, it's just unbelievable where we have come over the years, especially in our political system. You know, we've got these, I'm going to call them what they are, they're looned out wingbats.
Yeah, in both parties.
Both parties. It's not, and here's the thing, guys. I don't care if you got an R by your name or a D by your name or an I by your name. It shouldn't be about that.
No.
It should be about, are you adhering to the principles of the Constitution? Are you adhering to the laws of the land? You can't just arbitrarily go in there and make laws up.
Have you noticed that with like local elections? There's the candidate signs everywhere, but they don't say RRD.
No.
Or REP or anything.
Well, see,
which I like, because now I go, that looks like somebody I've seen on the news or something, and I have to look them up and
right.
see what their policies are.
Right.
And I never know. I could be voting for a Democrat, but he actually has a good record.
Exactly.
You know, not just the things he said in the last month.
Our system of government here in this town is, you know, it's the council over there is nonpartisan.
Okay.
It's supposed to be a nonpartisan council. So you're not running as a party primary candidate. You're not running as a Republican or anything. When I ran for council here, I ran on infrastructure was my big thing. Okay. I'm infrastructure, and being that, you know, the government's role is to protect and serve the people, I'm a big proponent of, you know, helping the emergency services, that kind of thing, because that's public safety is primary, supposed to be primary.
And it's the one thing that's not means tested.
Right.
You call the police or I call the police or the fire department, they show up.
Yeah.
They don't care about how much you made last year.
They don't care if I'm a Democrat or a Republican, they don't care.
Yeah, and that's public service.
Exactly. And so that's the platform I ran on, but, you know, I didn't run as a Republican. And when I was out collecting signatures and everything, people would ask me, were you a Democrat or a Republican? And I was like, well, it doesn't really matter because it's a nonpartisan race and I'm not running on a party platform. I'm running on this platform.
Right.
Do you agree with that platform or not?
Here's some other things that
right.
I'll deal with.
Why don't you tell me the issues that you're concerned with
right.
and then I can address those when I get over there on the council.
Well, and I think that's like a big part of America's downfall is this two-party system.
Yeah.
You know, because the RNC and the DNC are really just corporations.
That's it.
It's like the NFL and the, you know, the two, what are the two groups that play this coast and that coast or whatever?
AFC and NFC or whatever.
Yeah.
It is.
And that's all they are. And then all the primary elections are really not part of the Constitution.
Right.
They're just like, help us figure out who the first round draft is. And then when we're all done, we're going to give you A or B. which forces us to vote for the lesser of two evils.
That's exactly right.
Instead of going, well, we got all these people running, and the Electoral College will sort it out, just like George Washington ran against five or six people. And so you can get more diversity without the R and the D.
Yeah.
And you know, when Ron Paul said, I'm going to run as an independent, well, you won't get any support.
Right.
Well, of course you won't, because we don't play that game. You can't have three teams on the Super Bowl field at one time.
That's exactly right.
But you can with the Electoral College.
That's right.
And so
that was the genius of our government. Man.
Yeah. Just run if you're a good guy. And that's probably why they're always, all the talking heads are going, well, the Electoral College, you know, we got to get rid of that. It's like, what? You know, why don't you just burn the Constitution, come into the communities, kill everyone that opposes you, and just become a tyrannical society?
And you know, that national popular vote thing is coming up. Get ready, because it's coming again. And
what's that exactly?
Well, so the national popular vote is we elect somebody based upon how many votes they get versus the Electoral College. And so if you look at the demographics of the country, you have California and you have New York.
Right.
And if we go to the national popular vote, just based on that alone, you will never see anything but a Democrat as a president from now on.
Or basically a New Yorker or a Californian.
Right.
Because that's the population.
That's where the big population is.
And you know that's how they feel, because they're like, oh, the flyover states. Which is so demeaning. If I was a representative from one of the flyover states, I would be pissed.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we have a vote too.
That's right.
You know, well, not in their world, you know. Cause,
and, so look for that. Look for that national popular vote. It's coming.
Oh, I can
it's
hardly wait.
Soon. Yeah.
Because, you know, they keep chipping away at it. And I really do think we're all way too busy. It's almost like dodging shotgun shells. I mean, it's just too much at one time. And if you move left or right, you're going to get hit.
Well, you know, I hate to say this, but we have run out of time. So we're going to have to come back and do another episode, I think.
Yep.
It's amazing how fast time goes when you're having fun. And the thing that I really appreciate about you, not sucking up or anything, but is the fact that I've found somebody that I can talk to, that I can connect with, that actually gets it. Because so many people just don't get it.
Yeah, a lot of people in America are talking point driven.
Yeah,
bumper sticker mentality, and that doesn't mean they're not smart.
Right,
they're just not deep diving into issues that really affect our lives.
Yeah,
you know, and that's why I like local, because that's the guy that's going to stop you from doing things.
Yeah,
right here in your neighborhood. So I think it's good. I think we should bounce this off your listeners and my listeners and see if they want us to continue this.
Cool.
What did you call it? Just two crazy guys talking?
Yeah, two crazy guys talking. Maybe we should make a new podcast. Two crazy guys.
Two local widows. You guys all have a great week. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.